Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Podcast. This is episode 50 since we changed to the Dual Screens Podcast. I don't even know how many podcasts it's been in total, but this is 50 of this one, and this is kind of a big deal. This is awesome. Of course, I'm Stephen Fontana of Dual Screens, and we have with us, as always, Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I'm doing okay. I'm just a little confused about something, Stephen. Mm-hmm. Now, normally, shouldn't you call a doctor if your election lasts more than 4 hours?
Yes. I see what you right? did. I see what you did. Yeah. Yeah. Because of election, erection. I get it. It was
still quick to interview. Is it too late? No?
Okay. Yeah. It's too late. We hit record. You can't leave now.
Yeah. Now you're trapped.
Joining us this week is our Sirkin Ozai and Aaron Mersachi, developers of Mayhem Brawler, an urban fantasy themed beat 'em up that brings back the 90s arcade vibe to present day. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Hi there.
Thank you for having us.
We're very excited to have you here. And of course,
we're on a high from the weekend, and we want to close it on an even higher note with you guys.
So beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah, it was an awesome awesome weekend, and we're very happy to be here and doing this. And of course, where is here? Listeners, you were probably wondering, what is this show? I don't know what this is. I've never listened to this. Well, for those of you that are new here, this is the Dual Screens Podcast, the world's number one indie developer interview podcast, probably. Everyone in the gaming industry, be it a programmer, an artist, a voice actor, they all have a story to tell, and this is their platform to do so. And of course, the show posts each and every Thursday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice. And if you want to watch the video version, you could do so on youtube.com/dualscreenstv. That's D-U-E-L, like fighting, because that's all Andy and I do. So without further ado, let's get right into this thing, because you put your little teaser trailer up there. You got me and Andy. I mean, full chub, not going to lie, full chub. This thing brings us weight. This is very exciting.
All sorts of wet.
Lots of excitement happening over here on our part. So why don't you just tell our listeners, whoever wants to start us off, tell our listeners, what is Mayhem Brawler?
Okay, Mayhem Brawler is a classic beat-em-up. Yes, as you said, goal is bring back to 19th vibe to present day. Okay.
But what we have, which is different, is we're bringing all the remaining 30 years of evolution and technology and all the gimmicks back into the mix to not make it feel like you're playing a 35-year-old game. Mm. You get the same satisfaction by pressing punch, and then you get that hump. But the way you get the hump is a bit different than it was back when I was skipping school to get some coins and play, you know, all those gigantic, and I had to have a stair, you know, I was too short to play those games, but you know, brings back to those days, and I can run faster now once I get caught, you know, cheating. So make it at home, you know, that's even better.
You know, it's interesting because you guys have kind of like you kind of came out, you know, it's been a couple of months since Streets of Rage 4, which was almost like their promise was to take us back to the days of Streets of Rage, but also bringing some modern sensibilities to the genre. And in most cases, it was a success. It did what it said to do, but there were a couple of places where it kind of fell short as far as the modern innovations and stuff like that. So I'd be interested to get into what it is you're actually bringing from modern game design and modern technologies to the brawler, because, you know, the whole world now is online, right? And you'd be surprised how many brawlers there are that actually don't have online co-op, that they rely specifically on, you know, couch co-op and stuff like that. So what are the different ways you're kind of touching in on the modern sensibilities there?
First of all, we have some unique combat mechanics, and our primary edge is storytelling. We're trying to implement some choices matter elements. For example, some at the end of the some levels, after you kicking as the boss, you can choose A or B next level.
But let me give an example to what Sarah kind of saying. So let's take a few steps back. So you're playing the first Streets of Rage, you're playing Final Fight, you're playing Bimmy and Jimmy from, you know, Double Dragon, right? So, you know Bimmy and Jimmy, really.
Okay, of course.
Yeah. So what happens? A hot girl gets punched in the gut and taken away, and you punch everyone else to get her back. So here, well, Mayhem Brawler is actually part of Mayhem Universe, you know, patent pending, God willing. Mm. And it is actually a quite intricate universe that Serkan and a couple of his friends have been developing for the past 4 or 5 years. Initially, the universe with its elements and its characters actually has a basis for a trading card game, similar to Hearthstone or something else.
Oh, cool.
So to quote Howard Stark, you know, we are limited by the technology and money of our times. So, you know, creating a full-blown trading card game out of the gate is no easy task. So we figured that we use this introductory platform, which is kind of within the genetics of Hero Concept. If you look back to every game we developed, you know, we're always basing it off some arcade, you know. We did Arkanoids, we did Space Invaders, now we're doing beat-em-up. So we're slowly getting there. And the way we're doing is we want to give an experience where the plot actually matters. And you want to feel like, and the name Hero Concept, as Serkan aptly put it, is we want to tell an actual game moving in. So when we discuss decision tree choices, we really want to mean that decisions matter. And what that means is at the end, you get 3 unique endings to this game. And when I say 3 different endings, it's just not a different boss. It's a whole different platform, different factions, different mobs, different minions, different lieutenants. So you're effectively playing 3 or 4 different games at once, which adds automatically to the replay value. And you automatically want to know what you're missing. And that FOMO, I think, is something that's new to beat 'em ups, because usually you know what you're getting at the end of the level, and here you get to play around with it. And I mean, it's a lot more fun than the other way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this like reminds me of when Mortal Kombat came back, how they really started to weave like an intricate story into their game design. Mm-hmm. And you don't see that like mostly ever with a beat 'em up genre. I feel it's like you were saying, it's just hot girl kidnapped, beat up some guys, rescue said hot girl, and then the game is kind of over. So what kind of choices, as my dog is barking, it's way too excited right now. What kind of choices, like, is it just you pick like an A and B route situation? Like what does that look like?
Here's what happens. So let's say from the first level, I'll just give an example. Our heroes, which are members of a task force, a superhero task force, the Stronghold, that are designed to stop evil doings within Mayhem City, they come across some illegal shipments at the docks. So by the end of the first level, you face a boss, and then you kick the guy's ass. And then you present, and you found a bunch of people being trafficked. So you either follow the people and tell and follow where they felt they were taken, or you figure out who signed those papers, right? You know, who's behind the setup. And then the paper plot takes you to another part of town where you go find this guy who's behind the scene and take the next guy, or you figure out who imprisoned them in the first place. So a basic decision tree may end up you facing, you know, spellcasters, whereas the other route may take you to a place where you have mutated werewolves or were-dogs. So you have all types of fantasy elements which are intricately intertwined into some urban setting. And it's actually a lot less cheesier than I just made it sound, because we have a lot of people working, you know, countless hours of time putting in true artwork, you know, in pencils and stylus and all that. I mean, you know, we have a lot of people working frame by frame, so it actually shows in the end. And I'm sure people who've seen the video and trailer will get that feeling too.
Hmm. It's almost like you're kind of creating a almost like a choose your own adventure beat 'em up, kind of like just
pretty much.
You know, you get to the end of the road and you say, okay, well, we could go this way or this way. What do you guys want to do? Now, are you incorporating a multiplayer aspect to the decision making, or is it whoever's the host of the game or whatever, whoever's player one, you know, for lack of a better term, chooses that for you? Or is it like are you going to have like the team kind of discuss it or vote or whatever?
We haven't decided it yet, but probably highest score of the current level will be choose the next the next step.
Oh, that's smart. That's really smart.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. You want the better player, quote unquote, to get the choice. And then that actually pushes you to actually that takes. I mean, if Tarkan, if you don't mind me, I'm going to connect the scoring to another unique added value of the game, which is
encourage the artistic play.
Exactly. So
hard to get actions is more getting more scores. So at the end of the level, you can choose A or B.
Right. So as Sarah kind of saying, we really want this to be more than a button smasher. You know, punch, and you get to at least level 2.5 or 3. You know, if you end up dodging people, we want the game dynamic to reward special combos. You know, because we have a lot of built-in mechanics and combos, and we actually have a buff debuff system similar to RPGs. You know, we have conditions, we have overkill, and those are painfully explained in the gameplay mechanics before you play the game. So if you pull off, you know, sick and cool combos, you actually get more points than just smashing buttons and getting points. Mm. And that should encourage team play, or if you're even playing individually, because, you know, once you get a specific points, you get that additional life. So, you do have continues, but, you know, as the game progresses, you want to rely more on your, you know, X1, X2s than just your continues, which you do have a limited amount before it, you know, comes on crashing. So, and each character has its own unique set of combos, so it actually encourages you to learn and experiment more, and you can actually feed off each other. So let's say one of the guys moves, kicks a guy in the air, you get to kick that guy again in the air before he goes down, so you can add additional points to it. There's a counter mechanism, there's a break mechanism. I mean, it's a lot to digest, and the game actually teaches you. There's a tutoring session as you start, so you rarely get frustrated experiencing the onboarding is fairly seamless the way it is, and hopefully it will stay that way.
Oh God, it requires actual skill, Stephen.
Yeah, but you know what? As long as the skill,
you can play exactly like Final Fight.
That's fine. I mean, typically I go for the more agile type characters. I like to play a character that can move around a little quicker, maybe get in a little bit, you know, maybe not as powerful, but can get in a few more hits. Do you guys have different characters for different play styles? How are you guys approaching that kind of balance?
We have some Wolverine kind living weapon guy with claws. We have a telekinetic girl, which is her dash movement is actually flying.
Okay.
And we have a tank like Hulk. He can use super jumps, pile drivers.
That's awesome.
Even he can pick a guy from ground and smash. Yes, currently we have two characters, a living weapon and telekinetic guy is a girl is playable right now. And feedbacks are, yes, they have unique fighting skills, not just sweat graphics. Mm.
Are you unlocking more, like, abilities or something like that for the characters? Is there a little bit of like an RPG element for the characters, or is it just everything's kind of open to you? As soon as you press start, you go in and you just kind of learn the combos as you go.
I wished, but playtime of a beat 'em up is just 1, maybe 2 hours.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Sure. It's not a good level or skill progression
we want it to be an inclusive event. So let's say if you want to bring a friend and then you want to quote unquote beat that game once, you know, that should take you about an hour and a half if you're good enough, and it shouldn't feel as tedious as an RPG where leveling up is required. Here, you know, the way you level up or get RPG elements is, you know, we have weapon system, we have a combo system, you get to have a different route. You can mess around with the difficulty level, and it gets pretty difficult. You know, we have that option. You know, you can go nightmare level.
I personally love the skill progress systems. For example, our previous two games, which one of us, an Arkanoid clone and other is fixed shooters, they all skill tree, all have skill tree. But especially the second one criticized with skill tree, because players claim it's cutting the pace. You're trying to level up in a 1 hour gameplay.
Gotcha.
I'm just reviewing the characters right now. Is this one character named Dolphin? Is he part dolphin?
Yes.
Okay. I just had to confirm that.
Oh, this is wonderful. Yeah. Oh, this is wonderful.
I created him in high school, and his name was Amphibian. And he's he was a stupid frog helmet. And panties, gloves, and here, and insignia A.
Perfect.
So, in time, I don't know how. Probably when we playing role-playing games, tabletop role-playing games, for example, Marvel Superheroes, I'm a dungeon master already, Mutants and Masterminds. These characters actually evolved at tabletop RPGs.
Oh, wow. I'm just curious, because of all the ferocious sea life you can pick from, you know, you have a shark or some sort of squid.
I would take an orca. I would even accept orca. But the dolphins, man, they're vicious when they want to be.
Were you watching some Flipper or playing some Echo the Dolphin at some point? That
really lighthearted and funny characters. Wrong heart in a very long, wrong body.
You see now, it's going to be to your fault, because when you're trying to pitch this game, you're describing it's got multiple paths and endings, three unique characters, amazing skill-based gameplay. But when the dolphin man is part of the conversation, it kind of overrides.
I mean, does it though? Because street sharks was pretty cool. And I think they would have been just as cool if they were street mammals. Like if it was like
that is the, you know? That's like bullet point number one. There's a guy that's part dolphin. And that's like the whole PowerPoint presentation.
Can hold his breath for 18 minutes.
Let's discuss the dolphin in the room first, okay?
But I do want to show you something, Sirkin, because you did mention a couple of things. But I have this guy here, Marvel Universe role playing game. I have DC Adventures tabletop role playing game. That's the Heroes. Okay. Hold on, I got more here. Marvel Heroic. Got this one. That's a good one. And I did mention this one as well. There's my Mutants and Masterminds book.
Ha ha!
There it is.
Okay, he's gonna bring his.
I got a ton of D&D books under there too. But
let's just go get a drink.
But if we there it is. Yeah. If we're gonna be nerding out, we might as well go the whole nine yards there. One of the things that I think was being clever with the beat 'em up genre recently was I believe it was I want to say it was Streets of Red. I don't exactly. Oh, that's a good one too. Yeah. Oh, that's so good. I think it was Streets of Red, but one of them had this at the end of a level, you would pick one or two like powers or something like, or like three power. You had like choices of what you can do. Like, oh, I want the every time I kill somebody, I get a little life or a little bit of health, or and it would change every run. It was roguelite in that way, where every time you booted up the game, you would get a different amalgamation of powers to choose from as you go on. I'm pretty sure it was Streets of Red, but I've played so many recently that I could be making that up in my brain. Have you ever had any discussion about something like that since, Sirkin, you love skill progression or some sort of progression in that way? Is that something that was kind of on the table that, you know, for pacing situation, you were just like, let's just get rid of it and just tell a cool story and let people beat the crap out of something?
It's another situation besides the pacing. is budget of the project, because this is frame by frame animation, and we only produce six to eight frames per day. Additional attacks cost us one business day.
Oh wow!
Got you. Okay, that's wow. Okay, that makes total sense.
We're building carpets here, people, not video games. You know, this is handiwork.
I got it, man. I mean, for the people who don't know, like we have interviewed 150 developers. Like there's a process, there's a different process for a lot of video games. Like some people are using, you know, an established engine where they can just, you know, pick and choose and like pick assets from somewhere or whatever. Yeah. Some are hand drawing every single frame, you know, stuff like that. So it's interesting to hear that, because, you know, when you go on message boards or something like that, you might get people to say, oh, I wish you had this, or wouldn't it be cool if that, or man, this game had this, why can't this? So I think those are important conversations to have.
Number one wish is suggestion is online multiplayer. But we just can't without the publisher, of course.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Have you thought of doing anything, any sort of crowdfunding or anything like that, like outside, like anything major, something like maybe worldwide to try and like maybe?
Crowdfunding is a good option, but if we find a good publisher, we are doubled or quadrupled our publishing type.
Right. The way we can scale this at multiplayer online components and other nice tidbits is obviously, you know, getting an accomplished publisher with value added to, you know, make sure that we stay within our course and not modify it too much would be invaluable. And this is a process that we're actually starting, you know, as we're speaking now. So hopefully in some time we'll be able to share with you where this is headed and whether it's going to be a launch feature or some sort of DLC component or some sort of remaking. Sure. Because unlike mobile games, you know, which is saturated as all hell in all parts of the world, really everyone, because I mean, we are hailing out of Istanbul, Turkey. So we're coming from an interesting part of the world where two or three very large acquisitions have taken place in the past year for mobile gaming. So anyone who does not know anything about gaming thinks that mobile gaming is, especially hyper casual, is how you make money, which is not the case. And we're having a really hard time teaching this to people, and it's discouraging. It's just discouraging a lot of skilled artists from entering the market, because obviously we're looking for high quality content, high quality work, high quality dedication and loyalty, and you know, we pay them, you know, peanuts compared to those guys who'll put out like 10 games a week and then all 10 would crash because they have to spend $60 gazillion in marketing, and you know, acquisition is like $2,000 a player. And
I'm curious, what is the situation of the hyper casual mobile game industry in USA? I have no idea, because I'm asking.
It's one of those things where it's really, really hard to be noticed. And it is one of those situations where the guys with the most money, like your Raid Shadow Legends, which we get advertisements for everywhere, single browser, every YouTube, other games are advertising this game. It's like, it's insanity, but that's really what it is. It's like you get these giant publishing arms that kind of shove this game down your throat. And it just gets the clicks, and it's all usually free, and it's the gacha mechanic, you know. It's free, get you in. What was that?
Is it plague the community like ours? Because we cannot find a good artist to work, because hyper casual game studios paid more than us.
I think for most of the games that are huge here, they're not made here. You know, they're made in you know, China or Japan or Korea. A lot of them are made in Korea. You know, they're that kind of big international arm there that just kind of comes in. But you see how it hits. Like when you get something like PUBG Mobile, you know, Call of Duty Mobile, like they're making that for a very specific audience. They're not making it for here. They're making it for China. They're making it for, you know, for Korea and that kind of thing. So the developers here typically are way smaller. They do everything themselves. They are an artist that's making a game with their friend who's a programmer, and they kind of mash it together and they'll put it out on a mobile, and then maybe the thing hits. And if it does, then you'll see them start having conversations about porting it to Nintendo Switch or, you know, to other devices and stuff like that. That's kind of like what we have been seeing is like the artists themselves aren't necessarily looking for work. They're making the game themselves, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay. Especially in the States and in Canada, I've noticed that a lot.
Canada, huge.
Yeah, Canada's got a huge, huge boom right now for game development. A lot of designers out there right now just making such incredible titles. But yeah, that's kind of what we've been seeing, at least when it comes to the people that we've spoken to on the show. Usually the artist is, you know, a fan of something they put out, and this fan is put out fan art, and then they'll say, hey, do you want to work on the game? And then, you know, I don't know what they pay them, but they do end up becoming part of the team and, you know, stuff like that. We've heard those stories before. So yeah, I think, that's why I was asking kind of about the whole, crowdfunding thing, because when you're on a platform like that, you get people that are so excited of so many different aspects of the projects. Usually, like with Andy, he'll send me a Kickstarter because it'll be a really great pixel art game. But it could be a great pixel art game in three different genres. He'll send me three different ones, but like there's one of those that'll marry together and hit me, and that's action RPGs. I love action RPGs. So if he sends me a pixel art action RPG, boom, that's like a marriage made in heaven for me. And if I had any sort of, you know, artistic talent, who knows, maybe I'd be somebody to be like, I want to draw a character, you know? If only I had any sort of skills. My skill sets are very low these days.
Check skills.
Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much where
you know, it's at. I do want to touch on the art style for a second in this game, because when I think 90s retro arcade beat 'em ups, my mind does gravitate towards pixel art specifically.
Right.
But looking at this, I feel it's like, no, this is like a 90s comic book kind of vibe going on over here. So describe what the inspiration was like developing the art style for this game for you guys. Is that a heavy question?
For the sake of familiarity, yes, we are influenced heavily from Streets of Rage 4. Mm-hmm. However, in a technical sense, our previous game is the same line art and coloring style. Mm-hmm. It started developing way before Streets of Rage. We think, yes, we can easily adapt this style to a beat-em-up. So 90s, yes, it's comic book style, like X-Men style, however. So we decided to move that way.
But I'll add something to what Serkan is saying.
Of course, it's criticized or accused the ripoff of the Streets of Rage 4, but not intended to. I don't lie.
I don't really.
Yeah,
I could understand that, but they're not the ones that invented that either. Like,
right.
Like the first thing I said to Andy was, oh, this reminds me of Comic Zone, the old Sega game. That's what it reminded me of.
Some Russian guy told us from YouTube, it covers posing. The girl's pose is like this. It's tribute to Comic Zone, and I said not intentionally, but I'm glad.
Yeah,
right.
I think we should always trust some Russian guy on YouTube.
Always, always.
It's never hurt anyone or any country ever. So yeah. But let me add something to what Serkan has said, and I fully agree. Again, I'm going to go back to the reason why this game exists. I mean, it's not developed in a rush, as you can clearly see. It's very tedious. And because we have developed this entire universe with, you know, 50, 60 named characters with backgrounds and connections that you'll hopefully get to see more, not only in this game, but in the follow-up games, is it is designed and made to look and act like a comic book universe. So it's only natural that the art style that translates this life into gaming has to have a comic style. I mean, pixel art works great, but what we think is saturated in a good way, not in a bad way. But like you just said, you can get five different Kickstarters with pixel art because, number one, again, going back to creation, it's faster to make. I mean, you're using permutations and you can use engines and you can do something. And if you have a high level of intellectual property, which what this game actually has a lot. I mean, could you explain the plot of any other beat 'em ups that you played in more than three sentences? You probably can't, right? So we want to.
No.
Okay, it's like, let me kick everyone else. I mean, okay. So what I'm trying to get at is, if you want to convey real feeling and you want people to commit to this game and actually say, hey, you know, this actually touched me, well, not physically, but at least emotionally in a way that it doesn't, because we can't have that. We can't have that in Turkey. I don't know, maybe okay in the US. Well, I mean, the last president could do it, but, you know, hey. So we think it helps. And I think it helps people connect to the soul of the game. And, you know, if once they come in, they'll stay for more games and more content from the developer. And our goal is to create the IP and then move together with the IP to make follow-up games. So that's what we're excited about. That's what we're passionate about.
If we not fail this game, probably next game will be Mayhem Fighters.
Yeah.
Ah, all right.
Yes, you're going the TMNT route. I love it. I love it. Oh, yeah. I love it. Yeah, I was trying to think. It was like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles kind of had a plot, but like not really.
Sure. Well, it's always
money.
The jumping off point is always April.
Money. Like right. They were just
sure.
They were in it to make money to buy pizzas at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
And they had that crazy shark character. We can have a crazy dolphin character.
This is true. He is terrifying. I'm looking at your website, and he is terrifying.
Very intimidating.
That smile is a little off-putting. I'm not going to lie. It's a little off-putting. It's a little scary.
And
you have the underdevelopment tag pointing directly at his pupil, his dimple, which is nice. He's like, see that smile? If that's under development. So
just looking at some more of these screenshots right now, I think these are what you guys are calling buffs in the game. I see a little blood drop on a character and some like a little rubber ducky. What are those all about? I'm curious.
Those are basically three debuffs there. One is bleed, exposed, and dazed, which is duck. AI is limited. Basically, is AI limited, and get up process is
they're slower than their usual cells.
Sure,
is half, and bleed is whenever. Gets any additional the damage, he gets additional one from
Gotcha.
And Andy, talking about the debuffs, going back to what I said earlier, you know, if you end up using a special move or a combo or like a dash attack, which is a value added attack than just a punch, those generate debuffs more often. So you get automatically it's almost like putting a dot on when you're raiding, like in Warcraft, you know, if you're like a warlock or something, you cast a dot and then that bleed thing starts, and then instead of like, let's say 6 hits, you get that guy down on 4, and then you can turn back and make sure that the other guy doesn't strip you. So it just adds to the momentum of your building, and then you figure out which tools of your character actually creates those debuffs, and you kind of play around with it and figures out which way you block, which way you do the special. I mean, so it puts a bit more strategy to it than just sample button mashing.
Basically, energy attacks causes exposed situation. Knives, claws, and bites causes bleeds.
Yeah.
And heavily kinetic attacks causes daze.
Cool. Right. Yeah, that's kind of neat. Like, I can imagine like someone saying like, let me do a bleed effect first, then you can unleash your special on the character. Yeah. Interesting, yeah.
Characters has payback ability. Payback means when the character knocked down and get up, if you stand right there, he immediately attack to you and gets invisible for a second.
Oh.
If you dazed him before, when he wakes up, get up, payback ability.
It gets nullified, basically.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Very nice.
All right.
I love underlying systems. I love stuff like that. Just
anything to make you think a little bit before just going in and start slapping people like that.
Right.
That's always fun to me. Like sometimes you do want to just shut your brain off, which I feel like you could probably still do here if you really felt like it. But you could get up there and say, hey, this stage is a pain in the ass. We need to approach it this way. You know, let's try it this way and see if you can get through it. That's pretty cool. I like
that. It's hard to deprogram that out of your heads as like growing up as a arcade brawler fan, like mashing buttons. It's so ingrained in like your fingers.
Yeah.
You can already play as mashing style. There's no problem.
Awesome.
Even you can close heads up but icons too from options menu.
You can ignore the dynamics that we spent not integrating, Andy.
You could just forget it. Just don't worry about it. Just
play. You
know? This game, good to press the X button. Loved it. 9 out of 10.
It's like we put years of work into this, guys. It's such a detailed combat system. You're gonna love it. I'm just gonna mash X until victory.
No. All right.
I'm gonna come out clean and say something. So
this is
like 4 or 5 months back. I'm really tired. Then Serkan sends me the build. He's like, can you run this? Because I have among other machines, I have an ancient ThinkPad, which is our test for the lowest end technology to see if it actually runs a piece of shit PC, pretty much. No, but it's a good test, right?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's any lag, whatever. So it's like 1 a.m. I'm playing the game and I'm getting my ass beat. I'm like, why is this? This is not difficult. And then like 2 hours in, I'm like, oh, wait. There's a block button. but think about it, right? Did we have that back in the 90s? No.
Yeah, that's like...
You can't block it.
See, that's also Steven's greatest downfall in Mortal Kombat, the block button.
Yes, the block button.
Because he's trained to hold back and I'm totally fine.
I'm trained to just tap back, tap back.
Oh, yeah.
There are some fighting tips at the loading screens. And one of them is it game too hard? Try block.
Try blocking, you dumb idiots. But be careful, because if you go on next gen, there's no loading screens. You got to be careful.
Right.
You got to figure something out, because next gen, no loading screens. It's going to be, you got to figure out where you're going to put those warnings. Maybe be like, press start to play. Also, there's a block button.
It's gonna be in the garbage cans among the trash can burgers and the wall chickens and stuff like that.
We're actually gonna put it in the name. It's gonna be Mayhem Brawler 2. You can block.
All right, so let's move on to our rapid fire section now. Andy, I am going to tailor all of my rapid fires to be superhero or supervillain oriented. Now, I was thinking, maybe I do superhero questions, you do supervillain questions. How do you feel about that?
That's funny, because the first question I have is something that a villain would ask of someone.
That's perfect. Okay.
I like pineapple pizza.
Oh, he listened. Oh. He listened.
Oh, no.
Does that make him a hero or a villain? Listeners, you let us know. You let us know. All right. So we're going to start easy then. At flight or invisibility?
Invisibility.
Interesting. Andy?
If you fly, you will basically die.
How much sawdust can you put into a Rice Krispies treat before someone starts to notice?
Wow. Okay. So you're a very, very specific villain here.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. How much
depends
sawdust?
On how much vodka they had.
To absorb all that woodiness? Is that what the vodka is doing?
Or just to see if they get so drunk they don't notice sawdust. That's fair. That's fair.
Or maybe a spoon.
One spoonful. Okay, that's fine.
Is it enough?
That scarred me, by the way.
If you're the superhero, are you wearing a mask? Yes or no?
No.
No after mask.
Quarantine? No, please no. Life is really, really hard.
God.
Yeah.
All right. As a supervillain, you have your nemesis all tied up to the mega death laser. How long does it take you to explain your master plan before he escapes?
Depends on how many sponsors I have and if they're
This death laser is brought to you by Energizer Battery. That's great.
I will call Adam.
Yeah. So like 2 days.
That's perfect. Aaron, explain this master plan, please. I don't have time. Yeah. Explain it. There's a laser, there's a conveyor belt. You get the picture. Just figure it out.
What is a laser anyways?
Crystals and light. Okay. Let's see. What is the name of your superhero team?
Exciter.
No, the team.
The team, not your superhero name. The team name.
Exciter. It's an X-Men sub-team. Exciters.
Exciters. Okay, okay.
Also played in a tabletop RPG.
Nice. What were we called? I forgot what we were called.
My mine would be AA. Avengers Anonymous.
AA, baby.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. All right. You come across an old lady and a baby both drowning in a pool.
Okay. Yeah.
What do you decide to do instead of saving them?
Again.
What?
Remember, he's got the villain questions. Yeah, remember.
You're a villain. So you're a villain. You're a bad guy.
Baby drowning, old lady drowning. What are you doing instead of saving their lives? How are you making this situation worse?
Okay, but that's a different question. How do you make it worse? It's a different question than what do you do?
You throw in a puppy.
Or a laser beam shark.
Oh, my God.
So they're like, oops, how'd that get in there?
I'm going with laser beam shark.
I'm going to play the character for this dolphin. Smile.
I watched enough hentai to see where this is going.
Unfortunately, so is Andy, and he's played plenty of the games.
Too much, way too much.
Proud of you, Andy.
Thanks.
Are you wearing spandex? Yes or no?
Right now, I am.
Fair. That's a fair answer. I like it.
I'm totally wearing it. I'm wearing it. Yes.
Okay. I'm too fat to wear a spandex.
So you're not going with like a spandex with maybe a singlet or something like that. You're going with like with the pant. You want to have something with flow.
No, so I could have been going with
like a breathable fabric, you know,
some sort of
So lycra spandex. Yeah.
Lycra spandex. Got it.
But no
cake. Molecules. Okay.
What is your villain backstory? Are you A, someone who was wronged by society, or are you just a bored millionaire? So we're thinking like a Lex Luthor versus like a Dr. Doom situation going on.
I'm a child of divorce, so A?
All right.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Shit, that got real.
probably a crazy scientist is it's for me.
Ooh,
crazy scientist.
Crazy okay. scientist. That's a good wild. That's a good wild
right,
card.
Right.
I like that.
That's a good
like
wild
that.
Card. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that. What is your home base of operations? What city are you based out of? Like where's your origin? Where's your hero living?
Well, mine is definitely Chicago. I've spent 12 years in Chicago. I think it's a great place. Mm. You filmed the first two Dark Knights there. Can't go wrong. A lot of good buildings. You know, if you're swinging or flying, a lot of people to hide your shit.
Nice.
Good pizza. I don't know. Can't go wrong with that.
It's a good place. It's a good place.
Yeah.
I can't move down. For sure.
A basement in a shitty neighbor.
What was that?
A basement floor in a shitty neighbor.
Okay. Sure. This
is real. I have a music studio in a shitty neighborhood.
Yeah, I like how you're marrying the real life with the fantasy. It's nice. It's very nice. It's very nice.
Objection, Steve.
As a supervillain, what would be your crazy scheme to conquer the world?
Ow. It's a good one. I say the virus kills people below 100 IQs. And the other day, they find me dead.
Good God.
Oh, Lord.
It was his greatest accomplishment, but greatest tragedy.
Yeah. That about sums it up.
All those dumb idiots are gone. Wait a minute. I'm a dumb idiot. No.
We had this conversation when I was in college in a common room, actually, like 20 years ago.
Oh,
cool. One of the guys said, I would just make, like similar to what Serkan said, I'd make a computer virus that switches all the zeros to ones and all the ones to zeros in all software and see what the fuck happens.
you would have to leave the planet first because everything would break or blow up.
Right.
Everything.
And you'd have the patch to it, but you can't run the patch because everything is switched.
The patch has to also be written backwards.
That's something happened.
the whole world would just collapse. You would absolutely. It would be the easiest way. Be like, hey, I could fix this, but
they say in the millennium, you know, but nothing happens.
Yeah.
That would be your name, right? Y2K. There it is. That's your villain name.
Yeah.
All right. So I have one more hero question.
Cool.
I had it, but no. Wait. It's going to come back. Hold on, because I had it. It was right there. And then I lost it because Andy asked such a wonderful question.
I do.
Shit. Ah, oh, damn it.
I got one last one too.
I lost it. I lost it, Andy. All right. So I'm gonna have to make one up on the fly because now I forgot.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. It was almost there.
Shit.
It was almost there. Okay. I could do this one. Do you have a sidekick? Yes or no?
Mm. Yes.
Okay.
Probably 9 to 10.
9 to 10 sidekicks. Okay, good.
All right.
So you got kind of minions, but okay, I'll accept it.
Yeah,
because I have that number of cousins, and I have the oldest one, and they always to me like.
An issue to join him to kick someone's ass, so that helps.
Got it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay,
all right.
I'll have a really hot sidekick, and I will tell her to drop her weapon like every 10 seconds to distract anyone. So that would be her function, her only function. She's not supposed to be skilled or anything. She just has to work out a lot.
And also to get punched in the stomach, to get kidnapped every now and then too.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, that's a must. That's
right. Yeah. Right. All right. So All right. So you're the villain. You've just been defeated. You're dead to the world. The world thinks you're dead. How do you make your comeback years later? Are you a secret clone? Did a body double get killed? How do you make your return after everyone thinks
you're dead? It's a good one too.
You know what I really liked? Okay, so for me, the best Marvel movie is The Winter Soldier. I don't know if we have any conversations, but probably not. It's a great spy movie with superheroes in it.
Yeah.
I think what Zola did was great, where he downloaded himself as an AI into a network and pretty much fucking ran everything. So that's something I like hack myself into the NASDAQ or something and just
and then change all the zeros to ones. Is that what you would do?
Okay, you got
all the ones to zeros.
There it is.
Yeah, there you go. And kill myself in the process again.
Unintended consequences, but consequences nonetheless.
Yeah, yeah.
Mine is it's just like Dr. Octopus, villain deaths, but however, he is still his hero's and identity, and that one is actually a hero.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
Okay. It's like you would think about the weirdest shit Peter Parker's been through his entire life.
I know.
That is interesting. Yeah.
Great one.
And now the final question.
Oh my God.
In which you must pick the villain or the hero.
Mm.
That is right. You must choose between Andy or Steve, and which one you think is the hero and which one you think is the villain is totally up to you.
I think you are the villain.
Me? Okay. Okay. I'm deceptive. Okay. I get it. I get it.
And is just more look like hero.
Okay.
That's why I'd make a great villain.
Yeah.
Here's my take. Uh-huh. I think any moment now, Andy is going to pull the curtains behind him and I'm going to see my wife like all tied up with a counter clucking down. So, you know, the hidden element, I think, makes him more on the villain end. So, sure. Steve, go get my wife.
All right. I'll be there in a minute. All right. That was awesome. That was a great one. Thank you guys so much for doing that, for indulging us with that stupidity. That is going to bring us to the end of the show. Again, thank you so much, listeners, for hanging out with us. If you want to support us on Patreon, it's very simple. Go to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producers, Colton, the Apprentice Nestler, and FNH Paul. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support. We have bonus episodes that are going to be going up very soon. And of course, for as little as $1, you get a bonus episode, you get to vote the topic for that episode, and you get to join our VIP Discord to talk with us and our indie dev guests and all that stuff. By the way, gentlemen, you are more than welcome to join that Discord if you have Discord and hang out with us. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at @duel_screens. That's right. We changed our Twitter handle to better reflect what we are. We are no longer NDS podcast. We are duel_. I'm writing it in the doc now so I don't forget. Screens. There it is. We did it. Duel Screens. So please follow us there. Instagram remains the same at NDS podcast for now until we can figure out how we can change it without, you know, stuff having to happen. Anyway, you can follow me. I'm at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. And gentlemen, where can everybody find you guys on social media and on the internet?
Well, we have Hero Concept as that's our Instagram. We have the same thing on Twitter. Our website's heroconcept.com. If they search for Mayhem Roller, they can find it pretty much everywhere on Google, on YouTube. The game will be out in all platforms, you know, Steam, Nintendo, Xbox, PlayStation, hopefully around the same time. We're aiming second quarter of 2021. I'm guessing around May would be the hope. It's already integrated, so we're not going to spend time porting it. It's already pre-ported, pre-sorted, so we're excited.
Cool.
Any addresses that I'm missing, Sarkhan, that you want to plug in?
No. Okay.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Cool. All right. We want to give
punch people and punch again.
We want to give special thanks to Bradley Parsons at Train Sound Studio for our theme song, Retro Chatter. Thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of our cartoon art. Thank you, Matt Murray, for our logos and overlays. Again, if you want to send us an email, it's feedback@ndspodcast.com and follow our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/duelscreensstreams. That is going to do it for us. Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
Yeah, by the time this episode goes live, we're going to be in next gen.
That's right.
Realize that. That is insanity.
Right. That's right. We're going to have our PlayStations in hand.
Crazy.
And it's going to be an interesting situation, and I cannot wait to see what this whole generation brings us. And it's very exciting. And yeah, that's going to bring us to the end of the show. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Serkan. It's been a pleasure. You're always welcome back. Maybe when you get closer to release, you can come back on and talk more about the game. Open invitation. Thank you, listeners. And as always, please be excellent to each other.